Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. We'll read the whole psalm. Psalm 42, reading from verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the hand of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his soul shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bonds, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now I'd like to take a very few weeks to speak on various practical topics of interest. It was my intention, as a matter of fact, to start a short series on the church and mental health. Now, this should have been the topic for a seminar we had intended to organize, but such was the such were the activities of this church that we just didn't have the opportunity to do that. So I began to think that perhaps I should teach a series, take a series of sermons on the subject. My elders have advised that I leave that for next year. So I began to think about something else to preach. Going back to Daniel was a possibility, but I couldn't shake off the desire to at least preach a sermon on a related subject. So I decided only this afternoon to prepare for that, and that is what I am intending to speak on. So I'd like to speak to you on handling spiritual depression biblically. And we will do so by reflecting on Psalm 42. And I want to begin to tell you about Jim. Jim was a 40-year-old. He had a wife and three children. He had been employed as a school teacher since he graduated from college several years before. He claimed to be a Christian and attended church quite regularly. In the past, he had served in various capacities in the church. He sang in the choir. He worked in the boys' brigade. He taught Sunday school. He functioned as a deacon. He was a very active Christian. Well, more presently, he is not involved in any official ministry of the church. And as I think about Jim, I can think of a number of Christians among us who have a similar story. Once very, very active, but now not so active or not active at all. They stopped doing that a while ago. Jim says that things are really down. It's like a big, empty feeling. Nothing seems important anymore. Almost everything has lost its meaning. Teaching, his marriage, even sport is not interesting. Going to church is not interesting. Even watching television is not interesting. He says he cares about his children, but even that feels rather blunt. He can't seem to wake up his enthusiasm for anything. He feels lousy most of the time. He can't remember the last time he felt good or happy. He can't do many things he used to do. He has no energy. Sometimes he wonders whether he should go on living. Why not end it all? Isn't it better to die? So he has contemplated suicide quite a few times because a sad life is really not worth living. Jim has been spiritually depressed. I wonder whether that describes somebody here. Depressed. Always sad. Even joyous occasions don't make you happy. They don't give you joy. Everything is dull and dark, uninteresting. Even salvation, as we find it in Christ, is not enough to give wings to your spiritual life. No joy, no happiness. And you've been wondering to yourself, must you continue living? Shouldn't you take your life and end it and live this life? Perhaps there'll be more joy on the other side, you say to yourself. Like Jim, you may be depressed. But what is depression? Robert Barton was a Puritan. He lived in the 1600s. He described the feeling of the depressed, or as they would call it then, the melancholic. He described it in the following language, and I quote, "They are in great pain and horror of mind, destruction of soul, restlessness, full of continual fears, cares, torment, anxieties. They can neither drink, eat, nor sleep." That's Robert Burton. Robert Smith was our contemporary. I think he died only a few years ago. A medical doctor, a renowned biblical counselor, and did a lot of counseling related to medical issues, medical problems people might have been struggling with. He defined depression as a debilitating mood, feeling, or attitude of hopelessness, which becomes a person's reason for not handling the most important issues of life. They are very clear about what the important issues of life should be, but they have no energy, they have no drive, they have no interest. And so they live life running on its own, as it were. You've probably experienced that. But Jim is not the only one. You are not the only one. Those that suffer with these things in our day and age are not the only ones. Even biblical characters are reported to have been depressed sometimes. The Bible expresses this condition in several passages. You may want to check them up in your own time. Psalm 88 and Psalm 32, Psalm 77, Psalm 42, which is our concern this evening. And elsewhere in the Bible, we read about Cain, who was depressed. King Saul, who was also depressed. Elijah, Prophet Elijah, was depressed. The great King David, a very godly man. He wasn't sinless. We all know about his sins, but he was a very godly man. His heart was after the heart of God. Even he was depressed. Jeremiah was referred to as the weeping prophet. And there are others besides. They were all depressed. They lived through depression. Now, I won't have time to talk about each of these passages and individuals. I want to focus on verse 42. Chapter 42. In verse 5 and verse 11, the psalmist describes for himself what he felt within himself. Look at verse 5. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Cast down. "And why are you disquieted within me?" In verse 11, he says a similar thing. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" He felt a sense of hopelessness within. There was no peace within. There was a disquiet. And this made him sad. He testifies in verse 3, and I quote, "My tears have been my food day and night." My tears have been my food day and night. So he is discouraged to the point of crying day and night. In verse 7, he describes his experience quite poetically. He says, "All my breakers and your waves have gone over me. All your waves and billows have gone over me." He felt like a man who was buried under the sea, and the waves and the billows were over him. They had buried him. That is how he felt. And that is probably how you have felt. Maybe you are feeling that way. Sad, dead. And you're wondering to yourself, is life really worth living? This is depression. And as we think about this condition, there are a number of questions I would like us to answer together. First of all, what causes depression? I'll just suggest a few things and then zero in on the experience of the psalmist here. First of all, it may be caused by physical causes. And there are many physical things that may contribute to bringing about a state of depression. Let me mention some of them. Genetic causes. There are people who are genetically wired to suffer from depression. Things that don't bother you, for them, they are easily bothered and disturbed. They are easily made sad. And you find that many in their family are just like that. They feel sad easily. They probably cry easily. And they want to keep to themselves so they may commiserate with themselves. Genetic causes. It may be caused by brain chemistry. The people who lack certain chemicals in the brain, and they feel rather down because of that. And to survive, to feel more confident about life, they have to take drugs, chemicals, to help them lift their moods. Post-adrenaline depression. Premenstrual syndrome in women. Physical illness. Sometimes being physically ill may be the reason for the feeling of depression. Side effect of drugs, improper diet, insufficient exercise, insufficient sleep. In my counseling experience, I have come across people who struggle with seeing visions. Nothing to do with charismatic gifts, but they see visions. They hear voices. And many of them think they are being bewitched, especially if they are African. One thing I found when I moved to South Africa to go and pastor there is I suddenly realized that there were so many people who struggle with depression. I had been a pastor already for 10 years in Zambia, and I kept wondering to myself, is it that we don't have depression among our people in Africa, in Zambia? How come suddenly there is this pandemic? I'm sure we do have depressions. We just don't talk about it. We just don't bother about it. We just don't worry about it. We suffer to ourselves. We often don't think we need help about that. Well, on the other side, mainly a white congregation, there were so many cases of depression. And some were hearing voices and seeing visions, and most of the time the cause was insufficient sleep. So there are physical causes. Sin may be a cause. If you read the case of the psalmist in chapter 32, even the case of David in Psalm 51, you remember what he had done. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he had a sad feeling within, a deep grief within. It felt like the breaking of a bond. And if you can imagine that, the physical breaking of a bond is a very painful experience. Now, the equivalent of that at an emotional level, that is what he was feeling in his heart, in his inside. And he was feeling like that because of unconfessed sin. Hiding sin can cause distress to both the soul and the body. Responding wrongly can worsen the problem of depression. Responding wrongly. You are going through a difficult time, maybe due to an illness, or financial pressures, or some other affliction. And you respond wrongly to that. And very often, what makes the difference between whether we will feel happy or sad is how we respond to the situations facing us. Those who respond wrongly, the situation makes them sad to the point of feeling that they were being killed. Those who respond correctly carry on joyously, even if the circumstances don't change. Sometimes the response may have to do with the fact that you feel offended. You feel offended. Someone has offended you. And it could be a brother in the Lord, a sister in the Lord. You feel offended in some way. And you can respond wrongly. Even if you are the offended one, you can respond wrongly to it. And that can send you into a depression, or if you are already in one, it can worsen your depression. Indwelling sin could also cause depression. Adopting and being controlled by unbiblical beliefs and worldviews and culture can cause depression. Remember the case of the psalmist in Psalm 73? Here was a godly man. And he began to feel sorry for himself. He began to pity himself. Because as he compared himself to the people of the world, it seemed to him that the people of the world had no worries. Everything went well. They didn't know God. They didn't fear God. They didn't care about God. And yet it seemed to him that their lives were happier. But here he was, a God-fearing man, really putting in a good effort to please God. But he says he felt plagued every day. Plagued every day. and consequently began to feel, does righteousness really pay? What is there to gain? Here I am, following God, pleasing God, but look at me. It's one plague after another, every day, day and night. And the problem there was that he was entertaining wrong beliefs, a wrong outlook. He was interpreting the world, even the world of unbelievers, wrongly, in an unspiritual manner. And what changed the situation for him was going into the sanctuary. He says, when I entered the sanctuary, then I understood. The problem was that he was thinking wrongly. He did not understand. The third thing is just the circumstances of life. Circumstances are sometimes oppressing. And this is what the psalmist here in 42 is experiencing. He says in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now, we are not told precisely what he was going through specifically. But it was bad enough that observers began to feel, look at him, look at him. He is a worshiper of God. But God doesn't seem to be with him. God seems to have deserted him. Where is your God? They said. He was having a bad time, and he suffered the taunting of unbelieving men, possibly, who looked at him and said, if this is what it means to have a God, well, then we would rather not have a God, because your God is not there for you. And this depressed him. It had the effect of a deadly wound upon him. In verse 10, he says, as with a breaking of bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? So whatever the circumstances were, that contributed to this feeling of being downcast. Maybe those are the circumstances that kept him away from the house of God. Because this seems to have been an issue for him. God, the sanctuary, were far. And as the deer panteth for the water brooks, he so longed for God. And in those days, being with God meant being in the sanctuary, being with the people of God. And he wasn't there. And that made him feel worse. Can depression be cured? Well, certainly the answer is yes, and there are wrong ways of doing it as well as correct ways of doing it. Let's briefly talk about the wrong ways of doing it. I mentioned earlier on about Cain as having been depressed really because of doing the wrong thing. God had commanded both he and his brother to bring a sacrifice to him. And he brought good things, but not according to prescription. He brought fruit, he brought, you know, various fruit of the field. Abel, his brother, brought an animal sacrifice, and God accepted that and rejected Cain's. And Cain's response to that was to feel sad, to go into a depression. But how did he respond to that? He decided to murder his brother, making things worse. He began to make excuses rather than confront his problem, and eventually he ran away. Wrong way of responding. Some people turn to drugs, psychotropic drugs, to kill off this feeling, to bring in some excitement, to give them some adrenaline. They take drugs and very often become dependent on drugs. Some decide to become inactive. They're feeling bad. They don't want to see anybody's face. They lock themselves in a room, and for days on end, they are locked in and they lock out everyone else and everything else. Some stop eating as well. Others overeat and gain a lot of weight. And while they are in there, locked up, they are focusing on their feelings and pitying themselves and feeling sorry for themselves. And for some of them, it ends very badly, because they decide, rather than feel like this and think like this, I might as well end it here. They take something and die. That's not how. How should it be done? Well, if what is causing the depression is physical, something wrong in the brain, or there is some other physical illness, and it's very clear that there is a psychosomatic relationship there, well, you need medical treatment if the cause is physical. And it's not pastors who offer medical treatment. It's not biblical counselors who offer medical treatment. You go and see a medical doctor. But if there are other causes, it's also possible to have a physical cause and the physical is feeding off a spiritual. So it's coming from the soul to the body, and what you are feeling is not so much the spiritual as the physical. And you begin to think your problem is physical, when in fact, it is coming from within. That situation should be handled by biblical counselors, such as pastors. So if other causes, including spiritual causes, is the issue, well, here is an example in Psalm 42 of how to deal with it, and I won't have the time to unpack all my points in any detail. What did the psalmist do when he felt cast down, as he says? Well, the first thing you see is that he asks God, why? Why? Verse 9, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go moaning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why? He talks to God. Now, this man, mind you, had experienced good times with the Lord before. He mentioned that in verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He had experienced good times. So when he says, why have you forgotten me? He really means, I have known good times in the past, but why does it seem like you have forgotten me? Why does it seem like you have left me? You don't look at me anymore. Why does it seem like that? The point is, he talks to God. And that why question is a legitimate question. It may not have been theologically accurate or theologically precise, but it's a perfectly legitimate question, and he is putting it to the Lord. So often, when we are depressed in conditions like that, we go asking the wrong people, why? And the wrong people may give us the wrong answer as to why. This man goes to God. Why? Secondly, he affirms God's sovereign love. He affirms God's sovereign love. By day, the Lord commands his loving kindness. In the night, his song shall be with me. He commands his loving kindness. Or as other versions would put it, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Yes, he was in a bad way, but he still acknowledges God. You may be in a bad way, but you must still acknowledge God. You may be feeling oppressed and discouraged, but you must still acknowledge God. The third thing we see, based on verse 8, he sings, doesn't he? And in the night, his song shall be with me. He sings. He sings to the Lord at night. The feelings are bad. They are distasteful. The circumstances around him are bad. But he sings. This is not a song of jubilation. He is not feeling jubilant right now. It's a pleading song. He says, it's a song to the God of my life. It's a song pleading for his life. I'm in a bad way. My circumstances are dark. And he puts it in a song. Not all songs are jubilant. But we may sing. We may sing even in a moment of extremity. He sings. Fourthly, he preaches to his own soul. He preaches to his own soul. Verse 5, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He recognizes the fact that his soul was in a bad way, he was feeling depressed, and he preaches to his own soul. He directs his own soul to God. Hope in God. Very often, the problem is we let our souls talk to us rather than talking to our souls. When a soul that is feeling sad, that is feeling dejected, when you allow that kind of soul to speak to you, you will feel more and more sad, more and more depressed. You have to say, I hear you, but listen to me. Speak to the soul. Address the soul. Preach to the soul. Say to the soul, hope in God. Say to the soul, hope in the gospel. Say to the soul, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Listen to what Lloyd-Jones says about this, and Dr. Lloyd-Jones wrote a very good and interesting book on this psalm, which he entitled Spiritual Depression. He says, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. Now, this man is talking about the Psalm 42 man. This man's treatment was this. Instead of allowing himself to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He asks. His soul had been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. And when the soul stops to listen, you begin to experience healing. Learn to preach to yourself. Learn to preach the gospel to yourself. Now, this is why it's important to sink our teeth into God's word, to read it, to meditate it, memorize it. In such times when you are low, you can draw on that word and counsel yourself and speak to your soul. The fifth thing we notice is that he remembers past experience. Sometimes remembering the past is helpful. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. He remembers the times when it was all joyous and he was strong and with the saints. And that encouraged him. It's interesting that he remembers corporate worship, what he was doing with the saints. The Christian life is best lived out in company, and what we do with other believers in company, that builds us a lot. And in moments when we are down and we are far from the saints, we must remember what we have done with them in the past. Sixthly and finally, the psalmist thirsts for God like a deer pants for the stream of water. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? If you are in a spiritual depression, and at the same time there is no longing for God, there is really very little hope that you will get out of that situation. Ultimately, the answer to that problem is God. Having God, knowing God, renewing our relationship with God, coming face to face with God. Ultimately, that is the answer. Let me end with some practical directives and just one line directives. First of all, when you are depressed, work on your thinking. Work on your thinking. The depressed person has concluded that there are no answers to life's problem. And they are obsessed with that. There are no answers to this difficulty. There are no answers to this sadness. There are no answers. They feel imprisoned by that thinking. And you have to work on your thinking. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you like thinking negative thoughts all the time, thinking failure all the time, you are always negative, always negative. You can't see the bright side of life. You can't see the positive side of life. Your mind is enslaved to this negative thinking, dark thinking. You are always looking for the worst possible construction. And that is what you put upon life. You must change that. Paul's counsel in Philippians and chapter 4 and verse 13 is very clear. And you had better take this counsel to heart. Philippians and chapter 4. Did I say 13? It's supposed to be verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are true, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And what will happen when you meditate on these things? The things which you learnt and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Earlier on, he has said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You will have peace. You will not be troubled by anxieties. You will have peace. Meditate on positive things. Don't look for the negative. I'm not saying there is no place for that, but don't look for the negative. Don't always chase for the problems. You're always reflecting on the negative. You will always be sad. Paul is saying, do everything in your power to meditate on positive things. Secondly, focus on praise and thanksgiving. And then good feelings are so often not just the product of right thinking, but right actions. Right actions. Do what is right, whether you feel like it or not. Do what is right. Do your duty. Don't yield to the negative feeling, the feeling that is saying, go into your room and close the door and stay there forever. Don't listen to that. Get out and do your duty. And that is what will begin to change your feelings. And then focus on God. Focus on the gospel. Focus on Christ, and it will be well. Amen.